Tonight is Wednesday night, April 29th, or Yud Aleph ER. This is the Women's Mishnah Share. We're in the middle of the second parak. Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph.
Hey, Rabotai. Okay. Okay, Rabotai. 2 weeks ago, when we started the second parak, the Mishnah had stated, I'll just remind you, Ha'ish Mekadesh Bo Ubishlucho, that Kiddushin can be effected not only when the Chatan himself gives the ring to his bride, but even if he designates an agent to do so. And he is not the one who gives the ring at the time when you say Hareyat Mekudeshetli, but it's done through agency, the Kiddushin is valid. So too the Mishnah said, a woman can designate an agent to receive the ring on her behalf. Don't forget, this is talking about at a time, as we pointed out many times, that the halachic engagement and marriage did not take place on the same night. It took place 6 months to a year before. So when they said, Hareyat Mekudeshet Li, V'tabat Zu, Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael, all it meant there were usually the bride, the groom, and the two witnesses, nobody else present. Then we decided to get married, and you had the Nesuin, the Chuppah. But we do halachic engagement at the Chuppah right before we perform halachic marriage. So it's not a shocker that if you wanted to get engaged, you could ask somebody to designate, you can designate an agent, either to deliver the ring and give it to the woman, or the woman can designate an agent on her behalf to receive the ring, and the moment the agent picks it up and puts it on, or just picks it up, that's all you need, is that at that time the bride is betrothed unto the groom. So tonight we're going to learn, where do we derive this concept of shlichut from? We use it quite frequently, that you can designate an agent to do something on your behalf. And the Gemara will provide three or four sources. Hopefully we'll be able to catch all of them tonight. I apologize for not photostating the biblical source of the first one, because it would be a lot easier. So let me just get a chumash and read it to you. It's a very simple pasuk. In Parshat Ki Tetzeh, in the portion which describes not marriage but divorce, the Torah uses the following expression. Here it is. Torah says, if somebody should get married and then they don't see eye to eye, im lo tinsa chein be'enav, v'chatav la sefer kritut, you write the get, v'natan biyada, v'shilcha mi beito, v'shilcha mi beito. So, the Gemara is going to react to the fact, without actually saying it, why does the Torah use the expression vishilcha instead of vegirsha? What? That's exactly the point. Why? Because it can be, doesn't have to be done. That the person delivering the piece of paper is not the one who's divorcing her. In other words, an agent is fine. So let's read the pasuk. Shlichut minalan. We're on the gimel of page 1. Shlichut minalan. How do I know that halachically this concept of shlichut is effective in Jewish law? answers the Gemara. Desanya, we learned in a Braisa. Vishilach milamed shehu oseh shaliach. Since it says vishilcha mi beito, you could, the Gemara's playing around with it, make believe like you don't read the Mapikeh. Make believe you don't read it. So it could be read as if it would say vishilach ota. So who is vishilach? Who is that? The Baal. Male. Vishilach ota. As a result, we know that he need not deliver the get personally, because otherwise it would have said vigirsha. And he, what? Threw her out of her house, or asked her to leave, divorced her. Then the Gemara turns around and says, it says vishilcha, milamed shehi osa shliach. Since it's actually written with the mapikeh, which is the feminine form, we know that what? She can designate an agent to receive the get as well. And in practical getting today, this opportunity of shlichut is used quite frequently. Sometimes the animosity between a husband and a wife is such they don't even want to be in the same room to grant the divorce. So if one of them comes, okay, you don't have to see the others. The other one will send an agent. Or, in the worst case, both of them will send an agent. But it's used quite regularly. Based on the fact that this phrase, vishilach or vishilcha, is used instead of vigirsha. Vigirsha. Says the Gemara, that's nice. But are we learning Maseches Gittin?
No.
No, we're not learning Maseches Gittin. We're learning Kiddushin. So what does it help that I've established the fact that you're allowed to designate an agent to receive a divorce, a get, when we're not talking about a get? We're talking about accepting, sending the ring in order to be Mekadesh Anisha, or to accept the ring on her behalf. So the Gemara asks, Ashkechan Begerushin, I have now established a fact by divorce. Bekidushin Minalan, how do I know that something like this works by Kiddushin? So what would you say to that question? What would you say? Somebody said, okay, there is a source for Gerushin, but there is no source for Kiddushin. What would you say about that? What might you want to do? Yes?
Typically, the way we get out of something is how we got into it.
Good.
I can terminate the way you begin.
Good. Excellent.
A proper divorce is more significant even than a proper.
Good. Excellent. Good. Very good. So, in other words, what you're saying is that there are ways to derive one from the other. There is an avenue. So, why does the Gemara ask Kiddushin Minal? Why don't you say, well, I'm going to learn it out from the fact that there is such a principle where, by divorce. Mm-hmm. Well, the Gemara is going to say that and say, I can't learn it out from divorce. Why not? Says the Gemara. The Kiddushin Minal. The Chitayman, if you would like to suggest, as you just did, Nelaf, Yalef Migerushin, let's simply learn out Kiddushin from what? From Gerushin. Simply learn Kiddushin from Gerushin. So my response would be, Ma Ligerushin Shekain Yeshna Be'al Korcha. Ma Ligerushin Sheyeshna Be'al Korcha. Divorce has a property that does not exist by Kiddushin. What is that? That according to biblical law, a husband can divorce his wife without seeking permission from the wife. Rabbinic law has changed that. But according to biblical law, that is the absolute case. So what? Okay, so that, how does that impact? Why would I say that is the critical factor as to why I allow shlichus by divorce but not allow shlichus by marriage?
You can even give them the
What?
She can't get married.
Good. Since it can be done against her will, therefore she's not in control of any of this. Absolutely not. And I would say that if he can divorce, well, somebody else can deliver the piece of paper as well, and she can't say, hey, you're not my husband. The entire principle of divorce is done be'al karcha, against her will. There is no such thing as getting married be'al karcha. Can't force somebody to get married. Okay, so the Gemara will later deal with that. That's an excellent question. There are situations whereby legally a father is permitted to marry his daughter from age 3 until age 12 and a half. The Gemara will ask that question a couple of blocks later. So it's not going to be right that soon that we'll get to it. But the Gemara does ask it. So the Gemara answers, Amakra, the Pasuk says, V'yatza v'hayta. That's not what it says. It says, V'yatza mi beito v'hayta l'ish acher. After the divorce has been granted, she leaves her house and she is entitled to marry somebody else. V'yatza v'hayta l'ish acher. So how would she now get married to somebody else? Whatever it is. So in many respects, we compare marriage and divorce. This is not the first time that this derivation came up. That we compare Havaya L'Yitzia. And what do we say? Ma Yitzia Mishave Shliach. Just as by divorce, it is halachically possible to grant the divorce by agent, so too, marriage can be effected, or I should say engagement, can be effected with a shlichut. So the Gemara now accepts this as the source for divorce. Where do we learn it out from? For the source of marriage. Where do we learn it out from? From divorce. Give you another area of halacha, which is derived completely from the fact that we compare marriage to divorce. If you remember the first Mishnah in Kiddushin, what are the three ways in which Kiddushin can be effected? Kesef? Good. Now, shtar. What do you do when you have a shtar? What do? You write a document saying, you are my betrothed. And you give it to her. And it's kustish kesach geld. A lot cheaper than a ring. Just write a piece of paper and give it to her. Harei apikudeshesli. End of discussion. The Gemara searches high and far that shtar should be effective for kedushin. We can't find any such pasuk. So what does the Gemara say? We learn it from divorce. Since you can grant a divorce by a piece of paper, because it says, V'chatav lo sefer kritut, so you can also write a sefer, which is the opposite of kritut, which cuts off, but rather creates the bond of marriage. So this equation, what we call a hekesh, havaya liyitziyu, you compare marriage and divorce, halachically goes both ways. From Gerushin, you learn out that you're allowed to use a document for Kedushin. And from Gerushin, you also learn out that Shlichos is effective by Kedushin too. Yes, question.
Is this the only source for Shlichos? Is it applied to every
Shlichos? No. The Gemara is now, I said tonight that we're going to see three different sources. And what do you think the Gemara is going to do? It says, why do I need three different sources? Each one has a feature that I could not have learned that from the other. So all three bases will be covered, hopefully, tonight. As what might be the source of shlichut.
Does anyone oppose that idea?
No, nobody opposes the idea of shlichut. Nobody. It's accepted by everybody. There is debate as to when you're allowed to use the principle of agency, and we'll get to that a little later. Get to that a little later. Yes?
Why again do we discount the Bal Karcha factor and say that we can still...
Because if it's Bal Karcha, under those circumstances, obviously she has no control of the get. So if the husband doesn't even want to show up and say, my friend is delivering it, she can't say anything about it.
Right, so, but I'm saying since they're not the same, they're not comparable.
That's why we needed V'yatzav Ha'isa. If not, V'yatzav Ha'isa makes no difference whether they are comparable or not. You're right, point is a good point. Once you have... The Gemara asked the question and said that Kiddushin and Gerushin can't be compared because divorce is a what? Is done by karcha, by coercion. Marriage is not. Well, how does that suddenly get disappeared because we equate marriage and divorce? Because up until now we've been operating with Svara. Svara. V'yatzav V'haisa is not Svara. What is V'yatzav V'haisa? A hekesh of a pasuk. So once you have a hekesh of a pasuk, there's nothing to ask. It works. It always works. Always works. Good. So this establishes number one. Number one. And as I want to emphasize, shlichus is not a mailman. Shlichus is not a mailman. Good. So here is what I want to emphasize. When the husband sends his get with the shliach, when the husband sends the get with the shliach, obviously she's not yet divorced. Because the woman hasn't received anything. So when does the woman get divorced? When either he sends it or gives it, or the shliach gives it. But the It'll be illuminated where she designates the agent.
On her receipt.
Ah. There are two different types of shlichut that a woman can make. Two different types of shlichut that a woman can make. One is a shliach likabala. Maza likabala. To receive, accept the get. When the woman designates a shliach lekabalah, the moment the shliach takes the get in his hand, she's divorced, even though she's 3,000 miles away. However, she can designate she does not want to have a shliach lekabalah. It's called a shliach lehovaah, to be a mailman. Please go pick up the get for me. But I don't want to get divorced until when? Until I accept it in my hand. Now why might she want to do that?
Why?
Wants to torture him. I'm serious. The shliach's going to come here, and where's she going to be? 1,000 miles away.
Do you sign received?
Yeah. What?
Like in the post office, you have to sign. To show
that. Are there witnesses?
Of course. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the role of witnesses.
But
yes?
She also needs to know when it is that she is divorced. Because if there's a shliach 3,000 miles away, then she doesn't know what the time frame is.
Good. So that was another takana, which we will learn about a little later on. In theory, here is what potentially could have happened.
Doesn't it have to be handed to her, though?
No. In her domain. In theory, what could have happened is as follows. If the husband sends an agent... Right? Husband sends an agent. And the wife thinks that what? The agent did what he was supposed to do. And then she gets remarried. Thinking, I'm divorced. My husband said he sent a get. And she sent an agent to pick it up. And then what happened? The agent got shot along the way. So the Chachamim have established later on that, or worse, what would happen is the husband would send an agent, and then he has the possibility of terminating the agency until when?
Until he gives the get.
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
Terminating.
He can tell the guy, I don't want you to be my agent any longer. Until she receives the get.
But how could she receive it if he's supposed to give it
to her and he didn't? Ah, that's why we're going to have to make takanot. Because in all of these cases, what's going to happen? The woman is going to think that she is divorced. Think that she's divorced. Why? Because the husband said he sent the get. And she sent an agent. And what's going to happen? No one will know whether or not the get was actually transferred. It's not like today where you have a cell phone. So there are going to be guidelines today whether or not the simple halacha of shlichut is to be used in order to what? Eliminate those potential disasters where the get was sent by an agent and we don't know exactly whether or not the get was picked up, was received, was did what it's supposed to do. We don't know.
In the olden days, you didn't have to show the get before you got remarried?
You have to show it to the shliach if she sends an agent.
No.
Okay. In theory, yes. No, in theory, no. You can just go someplace and say, you know, I was never married.
But that's already...
But it's possible. It's possible.
But who's responsible? Who's bad would that be? It would be the woman. She's lying.
That's correct.
But
she thinks that the get was received. She's a very nice person. Her husband sent
the
get.
You have to show the get.
To whom?
To the new.
You don't have to. No. Right. Let's assume. Forget. Let me just take one thing out of him. No. For marriages, you don't need your husband. You don't need me. You don't need anybody. All you need is two witnesses.
Okay. Got it.
You know what? What do you need? Rabbis are not needed at a wedding. The rabbi is just to make sure that everything is kosher. But in order to get engaged, halachically, you don't need a rabbi. Just go over to two witnesses and say, "Here, I'm ready to get engaged to him. Please watch me. I'm giving the ring." What are they going to know?
You know, I once served in my house with Rabbi
Jaffe
to get my house. I was the shliach for the wife.
The shliach of Kabbalah.
And someone else was the shliach for the man. Either the husband or the wife.
Came.
He called the woman. Rabbi Jaffe called the woman and said, "Say such and such to
you,
me,
that she is designating you,
and you, et cetera, et cetera."
Right.
And gave you this whole formula, and I accepted that. And then it's getting off the topic for a moment.
No, it's not.
But the sofer that had come that day was the first time he wrote a get. Rabbi Jaffe brought a sofer that was very knowledgeable. And there was a wedding to be had. It was a crazy story. Can I just tell you for a second, because it's such an interesting story. It was an NCS, a girl who had become from through NCSY. She discovered that her parents had divorced many years ago, and she got a get. She said, "I will not go into the chuppah until my parents have an official get."
Wow.
This was on a Motzei Shabbos. The wedding was Sunday. Rabbi Jaffe was doing this wedding Sunday afternoon. He called me and he said, "Nechama, we're going to do this get in your house. You be the woman." The sofer didn't get it right. It took him an hour and a half to write these few lines.
It's 12 lines. It's exactly 12 lines.
Yeah. And they kept from
you were the mother.
I was the wife.
The mother.
They kept calling from the wedding. Has the get been finished? Rabbi Jaffe said, "It hasn't been yet." She would not go under the chuppah. They're waiting. The smorgasbord is already there.
Why couldn't she get married if they hadn't gotten married?
It was her shtick. She wants to know that her parents had gotten the get, the proper get. And they were both coming in from out of town. They would never. She just knew that they would
this
never.
This was their first marriage.
She was not a. She was not a mamzeret. Well, finally, they took a blow dryer to blow. They pulled it up. They called again. Rabbi Jaffe said, "Who else is at this wedding?" It's a Rabbi Yudin. Let him be the Masad of Kedushin, because it can take me another hour and a half to get. It was in Edison, I think. And the get was written, and then she went under the chuppah.
Wow.
But it was a wild story that I accepted. It was like such a... And it had to be folded a certain way.
Yeah, sure.
That's correct.
That get went to the Beis Din in Elizabeth.
And then we rip up the get.
And then it was ripped.
Yeah. That's correct.
So there's no way, I guess, of proving. And she doesn't have to prove anymore, I don't think.
No, we receive, when you get a get, you get a receipt. Like a receipt that you've been divorced.
Why is it
Because it's called Shelo Lahotzi La'az Al Gittin Harishonim.
No one should ever say it's not a...
Right, because there have been... I'll give you one primary illustration. I'll give you a primary illustration. the laws of the of Gittin have evolved over the years, even in the Gemara. For example, when we learned Gittin many years ago, you remember, the Mishnah said that a get does not have to have a date on it. Does not have to have a get, a date on it. Now, it was instituted in during Amoraic times. Now, why did this Amora Rabbi Yochanan say, we better write a date on the get? Why?
Because
otherwise, what's going to happen? She'll have an affair with somebody and then take out a piece of paper. Oh, I was divorced at the time. Even though she only got the get 6 weeks afterwards. Let's write a get. Let's put a date on. So now, when Rabbi Yochanan announced that takana, what happens if somebody did not have a... He wrote a get 2 days before Rabbi Yochanan made that takana. And now he comes to get married and says, oh, this must be a false get. Why? Because there's no date on it. So that would be motzi la'az al gitin harishonim. It would be casting aspersions on an old get that it doesn't have the required formula. So therefore, we don't want to get around any longer. And all you have is a receipt, a piece of paper which says all the info on it.
Just to cut it sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cut it, is that called that's cut into disruption? It.
Yeah.
Does that mean krisut? Is that like a...
No, that's just the symbol of it. Krisut means that that you cut off the marriage. That's what it is. Save a document that is co-raised beino lebeina. Between him and her. That's what a get is. Yeah. Yeah. So now, fine. So that's when the... So you have to know, if the woman designates an agent just to bring the get to her, then it does not take effect until it reaches her domain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if she designates an agent to receive the get, the moment the agent picks up the get... She's divorced even though she never gets it. Even though she never gets it. So there are two different types of agents that a woman can designate. Only one type of agent that a man can designate. And man can only designate an agent to send a get. Mm-hmm. A woman can designate an agent to receive the get or to bring the get to her. One of the two. One is called a shlech lekabalah and the other one is a shlech lehova'ah. Just delivery of the get. If it's the delivery, the get does not take effect until the woman has it in her hand. Yeah.
Does the shaliach for the woman have to be a woman?
Does she have to be a woman?
No.
There is some, it doesn't have to be. No.
But when she gets it, they have to be agent there?
Yes. When the witnesses...
Why do we suddenly let a woman do something?
When the... When the get... Depends now what happens. There's a debate about that in Gittin as well. What type of witnesses are the ultimate witnesses that effect the get? Oh. Rabbi Meir says it is the witnesses who sign the document. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. What is that called?
Ede Hasima. Rabbi Eliezer says you need witnesses at the time of the transmission of the get. So if you require witnesses at the transmission of the get, and the woman sends an agent, then when the agent gives it to her, you need two witnesses to witness the fact that the get has been transmitted. Mm-hmm. If you hold Ede Hasima, then all you need is witnesses to sign. That's it. No witnesses have to be there in order to what? To document the reception of the get.
And how do we ask him?
What?
How do we ask him?
So, what do you think the answer to that is? It's machloikis. Rambam Paskin said you need Ede Mesira Karse. So Rabbeinu Tam says you need both. Yeah.
But I thought we said that you need Aiden to see that she got it, because otherwise she could say that she never received it.
One opinion.
Right.
That's one opinion. But no, and the purpose of the witnesses is not to serve as proof that she got it. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you don't have witnesses at the time, the get is meaningless. the power of a get can only be effected if there are witnesses at the time of transmission. It's not witnesses to prove the fact that she got the get. It's much more critical than that. Good. Let's continue. Let us continue. Now, I should add as well that not only can a shliach, can a husband and wife designate an agent, the shliach themselves can designate agents, as the Gemara says in line 4. I skipped that line. Vishilcha milamit shehashliach oseh shliach. A shliach can designate another agent. Now here there is another debate. Under what circumstances do we allow an agent to hand off to another agent?
Maybe he can't do it, he's disabled or something.
Good. So some people say it's only if he's sick, incapable of fulfilling his mission.
What if they're too far away, like he can't?
Right, that would be incapable, right. But if he's perfectly capable, he must deliver the get himself.
You have to accept to be a shliach?
Of course. 100%. Others say it depends how the agency was established. If the person said, please deliver this get, without stipulating, listen, buddy, I want it to be you. I don't trust anybody else. Under those circumstances, he may not give it to anybody else, unless a Beis Din will verify that he is incapable of going on. Incapable. But if you don't stipulate, I want you to do it, then even if you're not sick, you just don't want to continue the route, you can pass it off to another shliach. And the rule is, shliach oseh shliach. An agent can designate another agent to 50 times. 100 times.
Of every transaction that has a shliach?
That is correct. Every transaction that we use shlichut, you can designate other agents. The question will happen is what happens if the guy messed up a shlichut? So by a get, you know, by a business transaction, what happens? I send somebody as an agent of mine to go to the stock market and invest $1,000 of mine. Now, why did I send this person? Because he's got expertise. Now this guy gave it over to a shlemiel who doesn't know what he's talking about. Under those circumstances, is the first shliach obligated to repay, to compensate for potential losses that would have been... So there's a whole discussion about that. Whole discussion. Whether you have... You might have a right to give it over, but he better do it exactly what he's supposed to do. He better do whatever he's supposed to do.
The first guy didn't say it must be you, because if he said it must be you, then it
that's
would
correct.
Be you,
so. Yes. Yeah.
You pay shlichim?
You can.
You can.
Of course. Most of the time, they're paid. Mm-hmm. Sure. Why would anybody want to do something for nothing in this world? Right. Why would anyone do it for nothing? Of course. Shlich is paid. Yeah.
It's just surprising that something so sensitive like marriage and divorce would
could be done by agency.
And even by so many levels.
I hear you. It sounds like it's like a little nothing deal that you're
and
right.
It has such important significance.
I hear your point.
See, but I look at it differently. I think it's different. I think if there's going to be any kind of issues with getting the divorce, it's so important to get it that you should go do anything you can in order to get it, including getting shlichim. See, I think it makes the process easier rather than...
Oh, there's no doubt that it does. In terms of divorce especially.
Yeah.
Divorce especially, no doubt. Yeah. Now, there is also one thing, before I continue, there is, you know, when you send a kedushin or whatever it is, how do you, and let's assume, again, there's no cell phone, there's no nothing. How does the sender know that the shliach actually did what he was supposed to do? Maybe the shliach took the ring, and what did he do with it?
He sold it
to somebody.
Right.
And the Kala never received it. How do you know? So he now was going to prepare for the wedding on the assumption that what? That the Kala is coming to the chuppah. And she never shows up. He calls her up and says, what do you mean? We never got engaged. So there is a halachic assumption. It's called a chazaka. A halachic assumption. Shliach oseh shlichuto. Shliach oseh shlichuto. There is a halachic assumption that if you ask somebody to do something, the halacha assumes that the shliach did what he or she was supposed to do.
Based on ne'emanut?
Based on, no, not ne'emanut means you told them about it. Nobody said anything. It's the halachic principle of chazaka. Chazaka means...
In the past, three other people who were sent to shliach...
Correct. That most of the time, Chazal believed that if you were to take a survey, not only Jewish world, that if you asked an agent to do something, what percentage of the time was the agency actually fulfilled? They would believe it's the overwhelming majority of times.
That's why you pay them.
What?
Yes,
okay, okay. So there is a chazaka called chazaka shliach oseh shlichuta. That a shliach, that's a halachic chazaka, like many other chazakos, where the halacha is established without definitive information. This has enormous significance. Without definitive information, we assume that the agent did exactly what he or she was instructed to do.
Just like there are for Edim, are there criteria for being a shliach? Like, do you have to be Shomer Shabbos? Do you have to have a certain...
I'm not sure. I don't know. It's a good question.
That would make more sense.
I don't...
If they have, like, Yirat Shemayim...
Yeah, I would say... I don't know. Maybe yes. I have to check. I
guess
you could pick
your own shliach, so you would try to pick someone who you know.
Yes, yes. But the question, could it be a relative? You know, that's... You know, yeah.
There's no requirement that the... agent informed the person who sent him, her, that mission was accomplished?
Nope. Okay. No requirement. Why is there no requirement? Because the halacha assumes it was done.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
But can't that lead to circumstances where the shaliach did not succeed?
Oh, yes. Sure.
And then the person got married?
Right.
There was a great distance. There was no communication. There was an accident. There were all kinds of things.
Yes, I know.
And the halacha does not require any kind of...
In the purest form, no. We'll see later that there will be takanot. But right now, okay. No. The question is, do we believe that the agent did what he was supposed to do? The answer is absolutely yes. No verification required.
So if it should take you 2 weeks to get there and I don't hear from you, I assume that it's, you've done...
That in 2 weeks, you've done your job.
That's it.
That's correct.
Well, you can't get married. Don't you have to wait like 90
days?
You
can get married anyway.
Yeah.
That's again only with Rabbanan. Yeah.
If you had to wait for verification, if it took 3 months for the boat to get there, then you'd have to wait another 3 months for the boat
to get back.
And what if that person got in an accident? Then you would really be divorced and not...
Yeah, the verification would be difficult.
Yeah.
No verification.
In fact, if you remember one of the not so good answers in the Haggadah, but it's the most famous answer, how did Arami Oved Avi? We read in the Haggadah Arami Oved Avi. So what is the Midrashic interpretation of Arami Oved Avi? Lavan Bikesh La'akorat Hakol. Where in the world is there any textual evidence that Lavan wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael? There is none. None whatsoever. So what does the Medrash say? I'm not going to tell what the Rav said, which is a totally different thing. What does the Medrash say? What happened? Yitzchak did not accompany Eliezer to what? To pick out a wife. So Eliezer was Avram's shliach, or Yitzchak's shliach, to marry him off. Now, what did Lavan try to do according to the Midrash? Try to poison Eliezer. And Amalek came and switched the plates, and Besuel, Lavan's father, ate the poisoned Lakshin Kugel, whatever it was. Now, Let's assume he had succeeded in poisoning Eliezer. So what would have happened? What would have happened? What?
Yitzchak and Rivka would have not married.
That's correct. Now, Rivka, Yitzchak would... So here they play the game out. Would Yitzchak ever know whether or not Eliezer gave the ring before he was poisoned or not?
No.
No. So now Yitzchak, his whole life, would be in limbo, whether he's married or not, Problem is, he could marry somebody else. I know, but Yitzchak wouldn't want to do that. You know. See, he would stay his whole life single, anticipating that, you know what? Oh, no, here is the reason. What happens if he married somebody, and the next woman that he picked up, who he's going to marry, was that woman's sister? Are you allowed to marry two sisters in the course of their lifetime? No. I understand. That was before he was a little angel. That was Yaakov.
That's right.
And now Yaakov was in Chutz Laretz. So the Ramban writes that the Avot only observed the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz. That's what the Ramban says. Or to answer all these with Russian. So if Yitzchak had not gotten married, what would happen? There would be no children. So that's how Bikesh Lavan Lachar Sakov. That's how the Medrash explains. Lavan wanted to eradicate everybody. There would have been no Yaakov born. Okay? Yeah. What was that?
Just a little stretch.
Yeah, a big stretch. Yes. 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 Good.
And she was white.
First of all, the pshat of Arami Ovid Avi is not referring to Lavan at all. Arami Ovid Avi, according to the pshat, is a reference to Yaakov.
Yes.
Arami, my father, was a Avi, was a wandering Armenian.
Aramean,
yeah. That's what it means. That's what it means. You know what I mean? Not, it's nothing to do with, but it's nothing but Lavan. It's the drash. Okay. Mamagain Vaita. Ask to Gemara, three lines from the bottom. The Eloha Disnan. What about the following source that I have discovered, says the Gemara? The following Mishnah. Ha'omer lishlucho tsei trom. If somebody designates an agent to what? To be mafresh trumot and maasrot on his behalf. Particularly trumot. As you well know, on all grain and on at least grapes and wine and oil, mid-oraita, you have to be mafresh trumot. Other fruits is machloikis. According to the Ramban, it's only mid Rabbana, and according to the Rambam, all fruits are d'oraita. So you have to be mafresh truma. So I'm very busy. I don't want to bother going out to the field, taking X percentage, and giving it to the Kohen. So I designate an agent to do so. But I did not give the agent instructions how much to give truma. So let me just give you the headlines. There are three categories of giving truma. According to the Torah law, it doesn't say how much you have to give. So according to Torah law, one little kernel satisfies the entire silo. One kernel of grain given to a Kohen for truma can fulfill the entire silo of obligation of truma on a d'oraisa level. The rabbis, however, say no. A generous person gives 1 out of 40 bushels. An average dude gives 1 out of 50 bushels. And a miser gives 1 out of 60 bushels. 1 out of 60 bushels.
Did they actually say a miser?
Yeah.
Well, what if it was just a poor person?
Okay, but that's not... Then we understand why he gave less. Okay. Yeah.
It's a poor person.
What? Okay. The Elohot is none. So now what happens is somebody designated an agent and he did not tell him how much to give. So the Mishnah says Torein kidas balabayis. He should give, how much should he give? As much as the owner would have given. But he does, if he doesn't know whether the person who sent him is an average dude, a stingy dude, or a generous dude, what do? Torein bebeninus. You give the average, echad mechamishim, 1 out of 50. Flip the page. Who doesn't have das?
It's like he doesn't have information
he needs. He didn't get it, that's all.
Right.
But you'll see in 1 second, you must have das in order to be a shliach. You must. That's why you cannot designate a minor to be an agent. Piches asara, hosif asara. If what happened was, he gave 10 too little. Afterwards, what happened was, he gave 50. That's what he should be giving. But what happens if he gave 1 out of 40? And he gave too much. The owner says, what are you crazy? What are you giving away so much stuff for? The truma is valid nonetheless. The truma is truma. Or if he said, if he gave away too little, and the owner says, what? Why are you giving away so little? I would have given a lot more than 1 out of 60.
Can't you add to it?
So he did add. He added already. So the halacha is truma so truma. The truma is effective. End of the Mishnah. So we have a Mishnah that discusses giving truma so masros through agency, not personally, directly by the landowner himself. So what question does the Gemara ask? Minolon. How do I know that agency works by truma? It's not kedushin, and it's not what? It's not gittin. If you would like to suggest that I'm going to learn out truma from divorce, so what would you say to that suggestion?
Nothing to do with it.
It has nothing to do with one another. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, "Ma legerushin shekein yesh nochol." There is nothing sacred about getting divorced. There is something sacred about what? Being mafresh truma. So something that has no kedusha can't be learnt out from what? From something. Something that has kedusha can't be learnt out from something that has no kedusha. I could have said that when you're dealing with mundane matters, no sanctity, such as divorce, there you can send an agent. But when you're dealing with holy things, like being mafresh truma, perhaps what should you insist upon? What should you insist upon? That you do it yourself. That agency does not work. Answers to Gemara, there's a special pasuk by Truma. Amakra, Atem, Gam Atem. The pasuk says, Torimu, Gam Atem, es Trumaschem. Torimu, Gam Atem, es Trumaschem. So what word is totally superfluous? Gam. Could have said, Torimu Atem, et Trumaschem. You shall set aside your tithes. What does it mean? Gam atem? So the Gemara says, Gam atem lirabot et hashliach. This now teaches me that a shliach, an agent, is effective, what? For truma. It's not what the word gam means.
No, is there any kind of place where this is drawn like that? Like,
oh, all the time. Like extra words, yeah. You use it as your at your convenience. At your convenience. That is correct. At your convenience. What is that?
Every shtar?
This is not to
every
a shtar.
Or just truma?
This is not shtar.
I'm saying, the shliach that you would send. Is this hold true for any shliach, or is it only
no, this is only truma so far. So far we know Kedushin, Gerushin, and now Truma. That's it. Es Gemara, V'nei Suhanach, V'nigru Minei. You know what? Who needs a special source by marriage, by divorce, and then we transpose it to marriage? Let's learn it out from where? From Truma. Just as Truma, which is holy, what works? Shlichut agency works. Certainly, kal v'chaimer, by marriage and divorce, that what? that agency should work as well? That's the Gemara's question. V'nesu hanach, let us bring the previous two, v'nigmaru minei, and let us learn it out from it, from truma, and we should not have to have a special derivation for marriage and divorce. Answers to Gemara, because we can't learn it out from truma. Mishum de ikar lamifrach shekein yeshna b'machshava. Truma has a halacha, a component, a din that does not exist by marriage and divorce. Namely, it can be effected without words. Just thinking about it. So you go over to your field and you stare at something. That's going to be my truma. Without saying anything. The truma is effective. There is no such thing as getting married to somebody by looking at her.
But wait, and how do you actually take the wheat? Even if you're thinking of it, it doesn't go.
You don't have to take the wheat.
But then,
no, it says you could use it for something else.
There are two parts to truma. One is to designate it, and then you have to give it.
Right. But what
so here is talking about the designation. The designation is done by machshava.
Okay.
Yes.
What happened to Dvarim Shebaleh and Dvarim?
Well, there are 102 exceptions to the rule.
Okay.
This is one of them.
There's an answer for everything.
That's it. Right. Of course there's an answer. Now, how do I know that machshava works by truma? Why is it an exception? Because there is a phrase in the Chumash which says, "V'nechshav hu l'trumatchem." V'nechshav, it will be thought about machshava as your truma. In other words, you don't have to you don't have to take it as out. You don't have to say anything. All you have to do is think about it. And I'll tell you where this halacha is critical.
With tzedakah,
yes.
Just thinking about
correct.
It.
I'll give you the illustration in a second. Correct. But let me just give you where this halacha is critically used. See, today, you know, in Chutz La'aretz, you don't have to worry about Trumas and Maestros that much. But what happens if you live in Eretz Yisrael, and now you have to be Mafresh Trumas and Maestros, and it's Shabbos? And you have a batch of oranges or a barrel of wine, and I have not been Mafresh Trumas and Maestros. What is the halacha? Are you allowed to drink from that, eat those oranges, or drink that wine? Absolutely not.
Can't you still take it aside?
Oh, you're not allowed to pick it up and put it aside. Why? Because that would be a violation of a malacha. What malacha will I have violated? Mitakein. I did something to enable the item to be consumed. It's the last act, exactly. So if you have a broken table and you fix the put the last leg on, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Not only is it boneh, but it's called makom
b'patish.
Correct. Until now, you were not permitted to eat the fruits. Now you're allowed to eat the fruits. That fixes the fruits and enables them to be eaten. So what do? You can't do it with what? With moving on Shabbos. So what do? Just b'machshava. You see those two oranges in the right-hand corner? Those two oranges are going to be truma. And you don't move them at all. After Shabbos, you pick them up, and what? You give them to the Kohen, and he eats them. So, there are times when we happen to use that favorably, in our favor. And just in case, you're stuck in line, where?
Lot Express.
Or any place else you might shop, Cedar Market, or any place else. Let me ask you, I said two illustrations. What are you going to do about a barrel of wine?
How would you designate that?
Because what's going to happen? So now, just to know, I'm not going to be ma'arich. There is a debate whether or not we say yesh breira or ain breira. Breira means that at a later time, when you do the action, retroactively it says that was the one that I designated on Shabbos. So what I do is I say, I'm going to take 2 gallons. These 2 gallons are truma. But it's in a barrel. You don't know which 2 gallons it are. When I pick them up after Shabbos, retroactively, you say, oh, that was the 2 that I had in mind. Are you allowed to rely on that or not? There's a whole debate in the Gemara about that. If you hold yesh breru, you're allowed to. If you hold ain breru, you're not allowed to do it. Just so you should know, in case somebody taps you on the shoulder. So the Gemara says, shekein yesh namachshav. So yes, Nechama reminds us that tzedakah is one of those items that are legally valid b'machshava. So, if somebody is making an appeal for something, and you are particularly moved by the person making the appeal, and in your mind you say, okay, I'm going to give $1,000, in your mind. And then the little card comes around after Shabbos as a reminder, we made an appeal, please send in your check, and you come to the chaykak, it's $18, that's it. That's no good. You must give all $1,000. Because a tzedakah, achal b'machshava. So if you entertain that thought for a second, you're obligated to pay. That's why I always tell the God.
I'm doing it. If you're just going through your mind,
yes,
how much should I give, and you come up with different numbers, that doesn't.
No, how much? If you decide, you know, I'm going to give $1,000.
Yeah,
then you change your mind.
But not if it goes through your mind.
That's why I always tell the Gabbai in Shul, when they make a Mishaberach, don't say Bavo Shani Noidelitzdaka. Because in case the Gabbai gave you a nice aliyah, he gave you mafti yoina. So at the time, oh, he gave mafti yoina, I'm going to give a really nice donation. And after yontiv already, it's the usual, whatever it is. Not, no good. Yeah. So that's, you should specify, whenever you're asked to make a commitment, specify how much you're going to give at the time, so that you're not caught in the trap of neder b'machshava. Well, since truma is b'machshava, and gittin and kedushin are not b'machshava, therefore you can't learn one from the other. Mm-hmm. Hence, you now need a separate source that recognizes agency for the category of trumot and ma'asrot. So we now know of two sources, which teach us the law of agency. One is gerushin, and we transpose that to kedushin. 2 is truma, because that could not be learned one from the other. Yeah. Yeah. Now, in this case of truma, whenever you have a mitzvah involved in an agency, obviously, who gets credit for the mitzvah?
The person who gives it.
The person who does it. Who gives it? The owner, landowner.
Not the agent.
Good. Now comes the question, ladies, who makes the bracha? The agent, or what? or the owner? The agent or the owner?
The owner is setting it in motion.
Yes, he is.
Their action by going to the shliach is setting it in motion.
So now here comes the debate.
Well, what about if I sent the guy even?
A guy cannot be a shliach. We'll get to that a little later. A minor cannot be a shliach. A guy cannot be a shliach. We'll see. So here is a debate about what is the essence of a birchat hamitzvah. Is the birchas hamitzvah made on the ma'aseh hamitzvah or on the kiyum hamitzvah? On the ma'aseh hamitzvah or the kiyum hamitzvah? And I'm going to give you the classic illustration, which highlights it. Classic illustration. I'm going to give you the classic illustration. Everybody knows that the Rambam's opinion is that the definition of the mitzvah of tkiya shofar is to hear the sound of the shofar. To hear the sound. There's no mitzvah to blow. The mitzvah is to hear the sound. The bracha is subject to debate. We follow Maimonides, who says, you say lishmoa kol shofar. There are others who say, no, the Baal Tokeya says, al tekias shofar. Why? Because he believes that a bracha of a mitzvah is related to the ma'aseh, not to the kiyum, not to the fulfillment. So when we have tekiya shofar, does anybody in the audience make a bracha? We don't make a bracha. The Baal Tokeya makes the bracha. We are making the mitzvah by listening to the shofar, but we don't make the bracha. So Rambam says that's fine, because the birchas hamitzvah is a function of what? Who is mikayim the mitzvah? So hence the text is lishmoa kol shofar, and when I answer amen, it's as if what? I made that bracha. But the Ritz Geus is of the opinion that the bracha is al tekiyah shofar, because he believes that the bracha has to be made by the person doing the action, not the person fulfilling the mitzvah. So in light of all of that information, ladies and ladies, who is going to make the bracha when a shliach is mafresh trumas and maisros? What's the answer? It's a machlokes. Of course. If you believe that the person who fulfills the mitzvah is the one who makes the bracha, so who makes the bracha? The owner. The owner. It's the owner's obligation to be mafresh trumas because he owns it. But who's doing the maaseh? The shliach. So if a brachas hamitzvah is made based on the maaseh, the shliach will be the one who does the bracha. If a birchas hamitzvah relates to the person fulfilling the mitzvah, then the owner, who is getting credit for being mafresh, trumas and maisris, he will make the bracha.
So,
yes?
Sorry, does that mean that there are people who hold that you have to make your own bracha before shofar blowing?
No, the Baal Tekeya can make the bracha, but he's got to say al tekiya shofar, and you answer amen, so it's as if you've made that bracha. Question is, what is the text of the bracha? Lishmoa, or al tekiya? So the Rambam says lishmoa because the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, and hearing is passive, so there's no maaseh. But the Ritz Geyu says there is a maaseh. You have to blow the shofar in order to hear it. So therefore the bracha has to follow what? Not when you fulfill the mitzvah, but the way you do the mitzvah. And the way you do the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. Blow the shofar. So here too, if you say that a birchas hamitzvah relates to an individual who is doing the mitzvah, fulfilling the mitzvah, that's the owner. If it's the one who's actually doing the ma'aseh hafrasha, that's the shliach. He will now make the bracha. Yeah.
So then, in terms of a brit milah, you make the moa on the shliach.
Excellent case. We discussed that 2 weeks ago. I'll say it quickly again. The question is, can you designate an agent to make to be a moa?
Yes, obviously,
because
we do.
The answer is it's a machloikis. Depends who the moa is. All of the what's his name?
Katzenstein.
They believe they're a shlichus. That is correct. But somebody who's a mayel in Rab Chaim's school of thought will not ask the father, do you designate me as your agent? Mm-hmm. Because mila is not something that is subject to shlichus. We'll talk about that some other time.
So why do the Katzensteins think that they're?
Because they believe, like those other group of rishonim, that it is subject to shlichus. Everything's. I told you every time you ask a question, safest answer is a machlokes. 99% of the time, you're right. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue next about. Ein brera means brera is to clarify. So when you pick it up, it clarifies. Those were the 2 gallons that you had. Ein brera means you can't pull that shtick.